This is Dr. Don Wilton.
You know what God's amazing plan was? Goes all the way back to Genesis. Everything about God's plan for you runs right through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it like this. He said, every time I open this book, I make a beeline for the cross. God created you and me in His image, created us to look like Him and to love like Him and to live with Him forever. But sin came into the life of mankind, and that relationship was severed. But God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come. He became sin for us who knew no sin. It's an amazing plan. The Encouraging
Word. It is so good to welcome you to the Monday edition of The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. Today's message from Dr. Don is about God's amazing provision, the way He provides for us and to us and through us to those around us. As we open God's Word in just a minute in the book of Acts, we want you to know that we're available for you. Right now, we're connecting keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. A lot of folks are talking about the counterculture concepts that Dr. Don's speaking about in a message called The Sanctity of Human Life. You can take a peek at that on the website or give us a call. We stand ready to pray with you 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, I'm going to ask you to do a couple of things today. First of all, I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts and chapter 1. Now, I want to say a few things just to set the table very briefly, because I'm going to repeat these things, and I'm so grateful to the Lord for that. These early believers, when you open your Bible to the book of Acts, the first people you meet are believers. All right, so these are men and women who are just like us. They have professed faith in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a lot that we can say about the early believers. And what you're going to discover is that everything we say about the early believers is true of ourselves. So what could we say about these early believers? We know that they had seen Jesus. They met Jesus. For them, it was a physical, literal meeting. For us, it's by the Spirit. We've met Him. The second thing that these believers had done that we meet in Acts chapter 1 and right throughout the Gospels is that they, just like us, had heard the message of Jesus. They heard truth. I want you to just get that. They heard truth. They heard what Jesus said. Now, friends, listen carefully today. These believers knew what the truth was because Jesus said it. They not only saw Him, but they heard Him. And the third thing is they believed in Him. Now, that little word believe is a marvelous word. It's a grand word. It's our word for faith. They faithed in Him. That's what the Bible tells us. It's the very means by which we come to know Him. Paul later was saying, for by grace you are saved through faith. God's word says that God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him. These early believers had placed their faith in Him. Now, it's pretty evident from their lives that they had to work out, they had to get a hold of and try to comprehend the meaning of this word faith. But faith means that God said it and you believe it. And here in the beginning of the book of Acts, there were two things that they were really struggling with. Number one was being complete, being just complete as believers who had seen and heard the truth. And the second thing was being courageous to speak truth, to stand on truth. Now, let me tell you, as you If you study these early believers, and there are a lot of these that I can give you today, I'm just being very brief with you because we're going to talk about this for the next several weeks. These early believers were fearful. They were afraid of the world in which they lived. What were they afraid of? They were afraid of intimidation. Let there be no mistake about it. The people amongst whom they lived had neither seen, nor heard, nor believed. And they were very intimidating to these believers. And the intimidation factor was as real as you could possibly imagine. The politicians were after them. Anything they said was subject to scrutiny. Nobody would dare open their mouths regarding the things that they had seen and the things that they had heard and the things that they deeply believed. You dare not. The fear of intimidation was a very real issue to these early believers. Not only the fear of intimidation, but the fear of isolation. Intimidation always produces isolation. These believers knew that they were few and far between. Their numbers had dwindled to the point at which they were just a small group, so to speak, in terms of the capacity of the world in which they lived. In just a little while, we're going to find them standing on the southern steps of the temple, where literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people from all nations would gather and be coming to the temple to follow out their religious ritualism. And they knew better because they believed the truth. And they had fear of being isolated. It's called believers' lonesomeness. They knew what it was like to believe so deeply in the word of God and and the things of God, and yet face such intimidation that they were reduced in their capacity to be accepted in the society in which they lived. Theirs was not a popular track. They were not only afraid of isolation and intimidation, but they were afraid of their own inability, their paralysis. Intimidation and isolation, when it comes to one's faith, always produces paralysis. Well, I would just rather not say anything, they thought. They had a crisis of faith. They knew and they believed because they had seen and they had heard, but this fear was very real. I'm going to put something up on the screen here for you. And I'm going to read it to you, and then I want you all to say this out loud with me. Let me read this to you. You're all looking at it. I am saved by His grace. I am instructed by His word. I am equipped by His church. I am empowered by His spirit. I am sent by His great commission. I am complete and courageous in Him. Let's all say that together out loud. You ready? I am saved by His grace. I am instructed by His word. I am equipped by His church. I am empowered by His spirit. I am sent by His great commission. I am complete and courageous in Him. Let's give God thanks today. Now listen to what Jesus had to say. I'm going to read to you one verse. Book of Acts chapter 1 and verse 7. Verse 8. I'll just read verse 8 to you. But you will receive power. Let me read that again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. I'm going to read that again. Jesus said, you will receive power. Who? These were believers. They had seen Jesus. They heard the message. They believed. What was their problem? Very real. They had a fear of intimidation. They had a fear of isolation. They had a real fear of inability. I can't do this. I'm just going to be quiet. They're watching me. They're going to get me. They're out to crucify me. They're going to expose me. And Jesus looked at them, and this is what he said. He said, I want you to know, all of you who have seen me and have heard my message, and to every one of you that believe in me and the truth of what I say, by faith, you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses everywhere, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. What an affirmation. I am saved by his grace. I am instructed by his church, by his word. I am equipped by his church. I am empowered by his spirit. I am sent out by his commission. Therefore, I am complete and courageous in him. Just think about this for a minute. Over the last number of weeks, as I sat and worshiped with you, God began to visit and pour out his spirit upon me in such a fresh way. I've got such good news to share with you. You are an amazing people. And what God has done with one group of people will confound the critics of 1,000. These things cannot happen in today's world. But they do and they can, because you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to every part of the world. I bless you today because of who you are in Christ. God's provision included a number of things. First of all, it included an amazing plan. You know what God's amazing plan was? Goes all the way back to Genesis. Everything about God's plan for you runs right through Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it like this. He said, every time I open this book, I make a beeline for the cross. God created you and me in his image, created us to look like him and to love like him and to live with him forever. But sin came into the life of mankind, and that relationship was severed. But God sent the Lord Jesus Christ to come. He became sin for us who knew no sin. It's an amazing plan.
It truly is an amazing plan. Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, God's Amazing Provision, with Dr. Don Wilton in just a moment. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we're connecting with all sorts of resources that'll help, not just in this broadcast, but in your daily life. If you're not receiving the daily email from Dr. Don, I pray you would sign up on our website at theencouragingword.org, or take a moment right now and text the word DAILY to 30500. That's right. If you text the word DAILY to 30500, we'll send you back a quick link. You'll sign up, and by this time tomorrow, every single day, you'll receive an encouraging word from Dr. Don Wilton, a nudge towards Scripture, and some concepts that you can apply to your daily life. Again, that's online at theencouragingword.org, or text the word DAILY right now to 30500. We'll text you back and get you locked in to a daily email from Dr. Don Wilton. Now let's dive back into today's message, God's Amazing Provision, with Dr. Don Wilton.
These disciples knew it. They saw him. They heard the message, and they placed their faith and trust in him. They didn't question him. They accepted him. And they believed that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man could come to the Father but by him. And through Jesus, God's plan, God's provision, through his redemption, through the shedding of his blood on the cross, you and I, sinners before a holy and a righteous God, are once again able to look like God and to love like God and to live forever with God, because we've been made complete and courageous in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. What an amazing plan. It's an amazing plan. Not only is God's provision about an amazing plan, it's about an amazing promise. This promise that Jesus gave to these disciples is amazing. To these believers, they believed. Can you just put yourself in their feet for a minute? They had seen him, been with him. They experienced Jesus. They met him. Paul met him later on the road to Damascus. Where did you meet Jesus? Those of us who are believers, we know him because we've met him and we've heard him and we've studied his word. They knew it. They heard him speak. They saw him teach. They watched him work. They placed their faith in him. He spoke about having faith even the size of a grain of mustard seed, which we heard about the other day from Steve Wise. It was an amazing thing. And yet they lived in their world. All the intimidation and the isolationism and the paralysis. What do we do now? How do we relate? They're out there. They're going to get us. We're going to be persecuted and hounded. Do I speak up at home? Do I speak up at work? Do I stand up for the things that God has given to me? And Jesus said, I've got an amazing promise to make to you. You're going to receive power. What is it about this power? You see, this power that Jesus was talking about would guide us. That's what the Spirit of God does in us. The Spirit guides us into all truth. The Spirit enables us to be able not only to see and to hear, but to take hold of the things that are true, not because of anybody's opinion, but because of what God has to say. The Spirit would seal us. Paul spoke about it later on, and he spoke about the fact that the Spirit of God is God's guarantee, the seal of God. It's the stamp of my authenticity. It marks me out and it separates me as a believer. It causes me to stand out and to stand above, because I have seen and I have heard and I believe. Therefore, I will not be intimidated or isolated or unable, because greater is he that is in me than the one who is in the world. Somebody say amen in the house of God. What an amazing promise. This was an amazing plan and an amazing promise. But God's provision spoke about an amazing place. Do you know what happened to these believers? In order for this to happen, they went to church. They all gathered together in one place. The Bible tells us very clearly in the following verses that all these believers who were battling with their fear, that were having a crisis of faith, that didn't know what to do or how to do it or how to become complete, they battled with their courage. They all gathered together. Excuse me, look at us. Do you know I'm more convinced today that Jesus understood what he meant when he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together? To be clear, I want to tell you something. You will meet and experience the power of God through his Spirit. Yep, definitely on a golf course. Definitely sitting in a boat fishing. Definitely watching your favorite team. Definitely being with your family. Definitely at home. Definitely driving down the road in your motor car. But there's something unbelievably unique about gathering together in the house of God. I'm so grateful that on Friday and Saturday morning, our chairman of deacons, Dr. John Warner, had called all our deacons and their wives together for a retreat. And it was my first opportunity to be out and about again. And I joined them, Karen and I did. And it was just, I cannot, nor could every person who was there, describe to you how the power of God came down upon us. I didn't speak. I sat again with a group of you, men and women. Now listen to my brothers speaking. And the power of God came down upon that place. You could feel His presence. You could see God in that room. We were a group of believers gathered. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. The church is an unbelievably precious place because that's the way God designed it. These believers went to a gathering place, and as they gathered together, the Spirit of God came down upon him, upon them. My father, who's in heaven today, always would say, and you've heard me say this many times to us three boys, because we wanted any kind of excuse not to go to church on Sunday. We were just normal boys. My father always would say, but sons, you just might miss a blessing. I want you to know something Jesus said. When you gather together, you will receive power. After that, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses everywhere. You will become complete and courageous because of me, because I'm going to give you my Spirit. And by my Spirit, you're going to be guided. You're going to be sealed. You're going to be empowered. You're going to rise above the level of your human mediocrity. You're going to be enabled even in the context of your own fears. Your fears of being intimidated. Your fears of being isolated. Your fears of inadequacy. The paralysis you feel. How do I answer this? What do I say when people say? How do I live in my world today? How do I relate? How do I operate in a country where prayer is banned everywhere I go? How do I say anything about Jesus when I become immediately the source of someone's anger and wrath? How do I stand up for my faith? I've got a crisis of faith. Do I believe that God is exactly who God says He is? And do I have all that is necessary to make a difference in my world for the Lord Jesus Christ? This is an amazing plan, an amazing promise. It took place in an amazing place, and it carried with it the most amazing power that transcends any human ability. I cannot do this. I cannot do this because I love people too much. I enjoy life too much. I want to be accepted too much. I don't want to offend too much. I do this because I am threatened by isolation and intimidation, notwithstanding my own paralysis. I know that what God says is true. This is absolute truth, but I've got a crisis of faith. And Jesus said, I know you can't do it, so why don't you gather together and let me do it through you?
And the crisis of faith is right where we need to be, ready to understand our own weaknesses, our own need, our own desire to understand what God wants in our life, and then to step into that in faith. On behalf of Dr. Don and all of us with the encouraging word, please know we would love to pray you through the next. If the Lord, by His Spirit, has stirred your heart to a decision, let's talk about it. Our phone number is an easy way to connect, 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 9673. Or if you'd rather go keyboard to keyboard, let's connect on our website at theencouragingword.org. But before we get away, a closing thought from Dr. Don Wilson.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilson's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilson or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org.
Well, here I am again. What a day this has been. You know, one of the things I want to say to you is let's stay connected. You know, we've got so many means to be able to do that. You can write to us, email us. You've got all the details right there in front of us. We're a family together. We stay connected in so many ways. And your life is very important to me. I see you there. And God shows me. And I want to be able to pray with you and connect with you and be a vital part of your relationship, your growth. Your needs are mine. I'm walking in your shoes. And I want to pray for you. Please don't stop. Call us, write us, keep praying, keep giving, keep connecting, keep rejoicing, keep celebrating, keep striving. God is on His throne. This is the Encouraging Word, and now you know why.
Our time's gone for today, but remember, you can catch us on television tonight at 6:30 Eastern on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, every Monday, The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilson. Till then, connect with us online at theencouragingword.org or know we're here to pray with you 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673.